Disciplinary Arts Festival in Vancouver that features some of the finest artists and visionaries from Canada, South Asia, and beyond. This year's special guest for the pre-festival curtain raiser on June 10th is Waris Ahluwalia, noted actor, model, and designer, who was most recently in the news for his campaign, hashtag Fear is an Opportunity to Educate, when he was prevented from boarding a flight because of his turban. Spend an evening with an iconoclast who works across the globe and across disciplines with an unwavering commitment to creating a more thoughtful way of living. Visit IndianSummerFest.ca for all the details.
In recognition of National Aboriginal Day, make some noise with the Red Jam Slam this June 21st, 6 to 9 p.m. Red Jam Slam is here to fill the airwaves with pride and celebrate being Indigenous.
Featuring live performances from Red Soul Blues, Farrah Palmer, Cuckoo's Nest, Aisha O, Nimkish, plus many more.
Join the audience at 1192 East Hastings or listen live at CITR.ca and 101.9 FM.
You can also tune in to Co-op Radio or CJSF.
From 6 to 9 p.m., the Red Jam Slam this June 21st.
Hello and welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and you might be watching this on youtube.com/spiritualshow or listening on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, where we broadcast from unceded Musqueam territory on the University of British Columbia campus. Or you might be listening online at CITR.ca, cosmicdimensions.com, empowerradio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And thank you for joining us today. I'm really excited to introduce today's guest. We actually did a fabulous interview a few weeks ago, and then my Skype recorder messed it all up. So here we are again. Hopefully it will be as wonderful and impactful as the last one, because oh, it was so great. So today's guest is Zen Cryer DeBrook. She is the author of Your Inner GPS. She's an internationally renowned teacher, speaker, and coach whose programs have helped people all over the world transform their personal and business lives for the better. And you can find her online at zeninamoment.com. And here's just a shot of her book, Your Inner GPS, Follow Your Internal Guidance to Optimal Health, Happiness, and Satisfaction. Welcome to the show, Zen.
Hi, thank you for having me again. I'm so happy we're going to do it again.
Yay. Okay, so back where we started from the beginning, would you tell us a little bit about what your inner GPS is and how you discovered this?
Yeah, so it is a factory installed guidance system that every single person has. They're born with it. Obviously, it's factory installed. And I've been researching this for 15 years with working with other people and 23 years on my own. And so I have this body of knowledge about this powerful, powerful way in which we get guidance through our body. And it's incredibly accurate. It resides in the throat area down to the solar plex area of the body. So all in the trunk area of the body. And we are consistently getting expansions and contraction in this area, like a lump in the throat or a tightness in the chest or kind of a rock in the pit of the stomach. We are constantly getting these sensations throughout our day in relationship to what we're thinking. We're also getting expansive feelings, feelings of confidence and joy and discernment and wisdom. And that's also in relationship to what we're thinking. And the purpose of this guidance system is to help us to focus our thoughts in a direction that's going to create the most health, happiness, and harmony in our lives. Gosh, I discovered it, 23 years ago. In 1993, I got a cassette tape, a cassette recorder tape. I can't believe those are so far gone now. But anyways, of this little couple named Abraham, well, this Esther and Jerry Hicks, and they were channeling this information from Abraham Hicks, which is a group of soul bodies that call themselves Abraham, and they talked about this internal guidance system. They talked about how if we pay attention to this area of our body, that we will get guidance on what to think and what to create in our lives. And I knew the second I heard that, that I had felt it. And not only that, I knew that when I felt that constriction, whenever I got that lump in the throat or that sick feeling in the pit of my stomach, I knew that I was about to do something that was going to sabotage my world. And yet, no matter what different action I tried over the years to quit and stop and not have that happen, I couldn't stop it. So I got really excited when this information came my way because I thought I could use it. And lo and behold, I have.
Amazing. So this is one of the frustrations. There's so many different steps to any technique. So when you hear about this thing, like following your inner guidance system, it almost feels like a downer when you don't know how to do the steps, like you're supposed to know.
Yeah, you're not supposed to know. I just want to let you know that it's really surprising, because even though every single person's feeling it, some people are tuned into it more than others, but I haven't found anybody that really has it down unless they get training. And so don't feel bad that you're supposed to know how to use this. And then the other thing is that it's working with your mind. And I don't know about you, but my mind's pretty crazy at times. So all of us have these crazy minds, and the purpose is to help us unravel that. But in the midst of learning how to use it, you realize how crazy your mind is and how challenging it is to work with that. So it's good to not get frustrated. But I'd love to share with your listeners and viewers a little exercise that could get them feeling it right away. So that way, throughout the course of the call and the session today, we could, you know, give them more of an example of how to use it in our stories.
Awesome. Let's do it.
Okay. So it's really simple. All you need to do is put your feet on the floor and your hands in your lap. And I recommend highly that you close your eyes. The reason why is it's important that you don't have visual stimulation. We're trying to get in touch with the body. Your internal guidance system is in your body. And I'm just going to walk you through a little tiny way of doing that. And then I'm going to give you two sentences so that you can feel this for yourself. So first, pay attention to the bottom of your feet. And just by putting your attention there, you might notice that there's a little tingling feeling, a little warmth in the sensation. And then next, bring your awareness to the palms of your hands. Once again, you might notice there's a little bit of a warmth or a tingling just because you put your attention there. And then listen to the room around you right where you are. It's good to keep your eyes closed. Now, the key is to feel your feet, the bottom of your feet, your hands, and listen to the room around you as I say these two sentences. Just keep those three points of interest. Now I'm going to give you two sentences, and I just let them pass through your mind like a cloud does through the sky. And here's the first one. I do not have an internal guidance system. Notice any sensation between your throat and your upper solar plex area. I do not have an internal guidance system. Great. Now feel your feet, hands, and listening again. Here's the second sentence. I do have an internal guidance system. Any sensation between your throat and the upper solar plex again. I do have an internal guidance system. All right. Wiggle your toes, open your eyes, and we're back.
Yay.
For most people, what they feel when I say I do not have an internal guidance system is there's a lump in the throat, a compression. They feel like their body wilts, or they can't breathe. They're kind of like, oh, my air is kind of hard to breathe right now. This rock, like you said, I call that closing. And so we'll refer to it as closing from here on out. And then the other thing when I say I do have an internal guidance system, they feel like all that goes away. The lump goes away. The pressure in the belly goes away. They kind of feel like sometimes people say there's an upward V, like I can breathe more, a warmth in my heart. And I call that opening. So there's closed and opening, and there's also neutral. But you're right. What you just asked was there's three different areas. There's the throat, the chest, and the stomach. And when you feel it in the stomach, it means that they're in relationship to your thoughts. There's a belief system that you're having in your life right now that's like a big body of thought. So lots of things that you're thinking relate to this one belief system. It could be that you're going to lose your job, and that's not true. It could be that your partner's cheating on you, and that's not true. It could be self-worth. Maybe you're getting ready to do something really big in your life, and you're scared that you're not going to be able to pull it off, not be able to do it. A lot of people have this when they graduate from college. Like, how am I ever going to make it in the real world? I don't know how people even do that, right? And they're terrified. So you'll get a belief system feeling right here, and that means that if you change that, you're being called to change that body of thought, to change that belief system. So that's what that means in the belly.
So that's the distinction there, is if you have that, the tightening, which I think most people would consider like a negative or a bad feeling, a lot of times we will say, oh, I have a bad feeling about this, so that must mean it's something I should avoid.
Right. Well, that's not, and a lot of people have that. It's kind of counterintuitive, which is why I believe this is so super important for us to get and begin using. The truth is that when you, it's not about anything outside of you. So if you say, I've got a bad feeling about that person or that situation or this, whatever this is, it's not anything outside of you. It's how you're thinking, what's going on inside your mind in the moment is causing this sensation in your body. The only thing that causes this sensation that I've found not health issues, of course, but that I've found in general, that it's a kind of coming and going of a sensation, is in relationship to what you thought. So if you take action on that guy or that situation or this thing, and you don't change your thoughts, you're actually going to cause problems, which is why I was self-sabotaging whenever I would feel that feeling and I would go to take action. It never worked out. And it was because, and I knew that I was like driving myself crazy. I'm like, but I feel like I need to do something here, and I would blow it. Once I learned this, by changing your thoughts, the sensation goes away and you know exactly how to act. And that's why it's such a powerful tool. So in the training that I do with people, I don't really actually train them how to use their internal guidance system. I train them how to work with their own mind. Because the truth is that your IGS is consistent and easy to feel, and it works the same way all the time, IGS, internal guidance system. But our thoughts, every person has a different mind. And you're right. One of the first things people report is they feel the sensation, but then all of a sudden they realize, I have no idea what I was just thinking. What was I just thinking? Oh my God, it's gone. And you realize how little you're paying attention to what your mind's doing throughout the day. And then the other thing that people realize is that they have so many thoughts going on, and they're often kind of schizophrenic. They're like a ping pong ball. Well, what about this? No, what about that? Well, if that happens, then no, that, and they just go back and forth. And then it's hard to kind of isolate the thought and slow the mind down. So you're right. It takes practice. It takes some training to use it, but it's not that difficult. Once you get the very basic practices down, you're off and running.
So I'm just having some sensations in my belly area again, and it's almost like that the excitement that you get, before you go on stage, where it could be interpreted as fear, but it could also be interpreted as excitement. So I'm wondering, I'm sure you do a lot of public speaking, you probably feel that fairly regularly. So how do people determine that difference?
I actually think they're the same thing, and it's just the person who's determining whether it's fear or excitement. Like if the person's walking into it, they'll say, oh my gosh, I'm totally terrified, this feeling I'm having right now. And if the person walking in is really excited and jammed to be getting up on stage and they're kind of a performer at heart, then they'll take it as kind of excitement. I can't promise that because I can't get inside of other people's bodies. But as somebody who gets on stage on a regular basis, I know that depending on the audience, the sensation stays the same. But if it's a larger audience that has more influence, maybe people who've been speaking a lot longer than I get a lot more nervous than I would speaking in front of somebody, a group of high schoolers, right? It's just, there's a way in which it's different, but the sensation's the same.
I think I'd be more afraid of high schoolers.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, I could see that. They could be pretty intimidating too. Luckily I took some practice, but I think the biggest thing is that it's all based also on what you're thinking. So there are people who don't have any form of sensation when they go on stage at all. It's so natural for them. And there's people who never get over it. Like they say that Prince never got over his stage fright. He had every single time he went on stage. And so, but it's really, to me, it's in relationship to what you're thinking in the moment. So this belly area shows up if you have a belief that's out of alignment. And you have to look at your thoughts to see what that is right before you go on stage.
Awesome. And I just want to say I've been doing some of your courses. So Zen has a website, zeninamoment.com. And you're giving out so much free training. And you even have, what is it, a million reads project? Can you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Yeah, the 100 million reads project is, I believe that if I could get 100 million people in the course of my lifetime using their internal guidance system, that things on this planet would change dramatically. Because what happens is that once you start using it, you not only create health, happiness, and harmony and success in your own life, but you actually start to bring people with you. because the way you communicate, the ideas that you have, the solutions you provide, the type of person you are in relationship with others changes. You become so much more authentic and powerful and divinely driven, whether you believe in there's a divine source out there or not. I find that this information that comes through this is so powerful. And I'll give a couple stories and examples of that. But I think that if we could get 100 million people using it. So I on my site, I have a free sign up for a 30-day course. It's just little tiny mini videos. You're doing it, so you might be able to tell them a little more about that. But there are little tiny mini videos that walk you day by day through using it a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more each day, which I think that's just the starter, of course, but it gets you going so you can know that this is real and it has an, it's having an impact on the decisions you're making.
And again, you can get a lot more stories and information in the book, Your Inner GPS. Can we talk a little bit about why you feel your feet and your hands?
Yes, that's a great question. What I found in working with thousands of individuals is that most of us are not paying any attention to our body throughout the day. This is how we get bruises, you know, as we're walking along and we go, how did I get that bruise? All of a sudden you look down and go, where did that come from? And it's a big bruise, right? You're like, I didn't know that. Or you get home driving from, you know, work or school or wherever you are and you don't even remember the drive, you know, or someone's having a conversation with you and you look up and go, what? Can you say that again? I was not paying any attention at all. Well, that's living in your mind. That's what that is. And what I found is that we have to be in the body. You have to be feeling your body. Otherwise, when your IGS is giving you sensations, you're ignoring them. And I actually kind of think that part of the reason we start ignoring our body is that we're not used to these. We don't know what to do with these sensations. When we get a lump in our throat or a sick feeling in the pit of our stomach or a tightening in our chest that feels like anxiety. And so what we do is we kind of disconnect. So starting out by doing the listening practice, feeling your feet, your hands, going into listening to the room around you, you're being in the senses of your body. And when you're playing with your senses, what ends up happening is you get in touch with the present moment and what your body's feeling. And all of a sudden your IGS is much more clear and shows up more easily.
I love that. For me, and I'm sure if it's true for me, it must be true for many other people because I'm not especially unique in my experiences, I don't think, is that I spent a lot of my life avoiding that discomfort. And so what happened is that I would end up missing out on opportunities because of the fear and anxiety that would come up in my body. I would either be distracting myself with TV or cell phones or eating foods that take that feeling away. I mean, we all have self-soothing, avoidant type behaviors. And it wasn't until I started being willing to feel that feeling and move through it that I actually started making progress in my life. And I'm wondering if you could share a little bit about that, because I'm sure you've gone through this too.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I like to tell people anytime they're feeling it, all the closing is all named different things by us right now. Stress, worry, fear, frustration, overwhelm, just to name a few. Those are just ways in which we feel when we say, I'm so stressed out or I'm so overwhelmed. What's really happening is you're closed, which means what you're thinking is not true and not going to happen. Your IGS is closed to what you're thinking. You're going off track. And so we not knowing that we have the power to change our thoughts and move us back into an opening where you feel centered and calm and good. What happens is we do that. We do addictive behaviors, most of us. It could be as crazy as starting a fight. Some people go into drama. So it's not even a food substance or a drug substance that has the body feel different. They just release their pressure via, you know, screaming and yelling or creating a situation. It could be food. It could be exercise. People over-exercising, you know, going on these massive runs that destroy their bodies, which sounds kind of crazy, but it's true. They destroy their knees. We've got all kinds of ways that we change our internal experience through outward things. And in using your IGS, those begin to slowly go away. You begin to realize that you can shift the way you're thinking, that you can find this opening and things get healthier. And you start realizing that you begin doing things because you want to, because you love it, not because it's an addiction or a compulsion. Yeah, that's one of the things that changes in this.
You were mentioning the creating drama. I had a thought that comes to mind. I noticed that so often we, including myself, will judge other people for the things that they're doing or their attitudes or whatever. And if you really look below the surface, more often than not, we're judging people for the same things that we do that we might not be admitting to ourselves that we do. So I'm wondering if there's a way when we start judging people, and if we notice it, how can we use our IGS to help us move through that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I like to say judgments kill miracles. Okay. And the reason why I say that is that when I truly do believe that we create our own reality through the law of attraction or manifestation or whatever, I don't believe it's something that happens willy-nilly. I think it's a spiritual practice on this planet where we get to see in the mirror that we have in our around us, which is everything that comes into our life is a mirror. It's a reflection of our soul. And so in saying that, what I found is that when somebody comes into your life that triggers you, that you have judgments about, very often it is an identical picture of something that you're not willing to see in yourself, that you're being asked to see and have be at choice about. So you've got it. It's exactly what I found. Now, the reason why I say judgments kill miracles is because the moment that we determine, we make a choice, that judgment is a very powerful choice. It's like determined. When the moment that we make that with our minds, it really stops things from changing around us. Even if that person were a completely different person in a week's time and that judgment that you made no longer applies, you couldn't see it because you've already made this determination. I think that's why when we go home for Christmas, it's such a mess, no matter how much personal development work or how much we've changed, we go home. I think it's because everybody kind of sees us the same and then begins operating, and it kind of brings that out in us. So you're right. And in using your IGS, this is the important part, it will lead you away from judging another. You could actually literally say, I'm doing this. This is what I'm witnessing is how I am at times. And you'll get an opening. And it's really reassuring as you're playing with stuff. I've got a great story about this. It's a little bit different, but it'll give an example of that if you want. Do you mind if I tell it?
Sure. Thank you.
Okay, good. Cool. So when I was younger, I was told repeatedly that I was a very jealous person. When I was dating and I began dating, I had these horrible feelings whenever my boyfriend would talk to another person. And that was of the opposite sex, especially if they were attractive and I didn't feel that I was as attractive, right? And I would have these really fitful behaviors and get really angry, either break up with the person or create a fright. And I worked for years. I don't want to be that kind of person. That's not who I am at the heart of things. It was this uncontrollable sensation I had. And so I worked for years and years and years on stopping that whole jealous behavior, and it never worked. I read books, I went to counseling, I did all kinds of things. And then finally one day I was reading a book and it started talking about the symptoms of insecurity and the ways that it shows up in our lives. And all of a sudden it hit me. I'm not jealous, I'm insecure. And I got this huge opening in my IGS. And I was like, oh, I was so excited. I'm insecure. I called my boyfriend. I was like, honey, I'm insecure. And he was like, is this a trick question? I was like, no, I'm so excited. I can work on insecurity, but I'm not jealous. And he goes, what? And I said, yeah, jealousy is about controlling the other person. You're not allowed to go anywhere, do anything, talk to anybody. That's not what I wanted. My issue was they're prettier than me. They're smarter. They like cars. They're into cars and I'm not. He's into cars. So he's going to like her over me. I had all these insecure things going on. And once I began working on my own self-esteem and that I'm pretty and I'm smart and I'm beautiful and that my partner loves me for me because I'm unique to him, all those sensations began to go away. And I don't find them showing up. I'm sure if Angelina Jolie came and started, you know, going after my husband, I would probably have a little bit of insecurity. But in general, on the day-to-day world, I don't. I feel really good and self-confident. And so my IGS led me to healing that aspect of myself. And I'm so grateful because I could have spent the rest of my life in that. It's a deep level of pain. That level of insecurity with someone and when you're out in the world is so painful. And I got to overcome it because of my IGS.
And isn't it interesting that our insecurities or whatever it is that we're pushing away or judging ends up, and maybe this is part of that our life circumstances trying to force us to address it, the more we do those insecure things, the more stuff that comes to make us insecure. It's like this self-perpetuating cycle. Have you found that?
Yes, I have. It's almost like, usually when we get triggered by something that comes into our life, what I've found is that's what's up for us. That's what we have to fix in order for our life to be what we want it to be. I believe that the universe kind of gives us what's up next for us. So the louder it gets, the more you're going to be willing to work on it and change it, is my belief. And so, yeah, if you've got something going on that's a pattern in your life in the moment and you don't stop and deal with it, it does continue to get stronger and more powerful and louder and louder and louder. And your IGS will close. Your IGS works kind of like the hot cold game. So there's an object out there that you really desire and it'll make you happy. And it's like, remember when you're a kid and they blindfold you and everybody be all hot, hot. No, 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 you're going warm. No, colder, colder. Oh, you're too cold. No, no, yes, yes, warm. Your IGS is trying to do that because it doesn't give you direct information, but it does tell you when your thinking is on track. And so the closer you are to something that's going to bring you joy and happiness and is part of your path, the bigger your opening is about it. And the farther you get away, the more you feel like you're in panic and terror and fear. And it gets louder as you start moving. So the farther you get down your path, the more the closing happens if you're farther away from where you want to be. And I think so the two combined is when it's up for you, it's going to keep being in your face until you deal with it. And your IGS is going to keep being louder and louder and louder with it that you're going in the wrong direction.
Thank you for clarifying that, because I think it's probably pretty common for people to think that your IGS is a yes or no. If you get that closing, it's a no. And there's a lot of subtlety to it. And even when you're having a thought, if you change your thought slightly, it could change everything. Yeah. Even though, like, there's just such subtlety in the energy and specificity, is that a word, of the thoughts that we're thinking. Like, to one person, those two thoughts could sound like pretty much the same thing, but that little tweak makes all the difference.
Yeah. There are times when it really is as simple as timing, you know, not today, but tomorrow. It could be as simple as, this may sound like a big tweak, but a lot of people, when I work with them in my online courses, we do this exercise that helps you get aligned with what is for you to be doing on a daily basis. And a lot of people, exercise is not for them to be doing right now. They've got so much going on. They don't have time to fit it in. Every single day they punish themselves. I must exercise more. I need to get to the gym. But they don't really actually have time to do it. And so, their IGS closes, which creates that stress around exercise. And they'll be able to just, by using their IGS and looking at it, going, wait a minute, I'm closed. I'm not supposed to be exercising right now. Ooh, I opened. Okay, there'll be a time when exercise comes back into my life. Yes. Okay. I can let that go for now. And what's interesting is then they're allowed to sleep in the morning for an extra 45 minutes when they would have been tossing and turning, trying to yell at themselves for not getting out of bed and heading to the gym or going for a walk or whatever. So that's just a slight tweak, but it brings so much level of peace and joy into the person's life. And then there's other times when they open, I need to be exercising. And they get a big opening and then they have the energy for it. They actually want to, because every time they think of exercising, they open. It's something that's like energizing. And so that is like a really important shift for people to make about their daily lives. And we have so many of these should, have to, need to's, and musts in our life that are not real. They're not what we're supposed to be doing right now.
Well, I want to share something with you. And as I think about sharing it, I get that feeling in my belly again. And I don't know if it's the excitement of sharing it or if it's fear. I'm not still quite clear on what it is, but in our last interview that didn't get recorded properly, I told you about how when I went through that exercise of feeling the feet and the hands and listening to the sound of the room, what I noticed, and maybe I was pushing this aside so I wasn't aware of it, was this incredible anxiety that came up in my body. I have a tendency to have a lot of worries in my head, but the physical sensation is not usually there as far as anxiety. So for a couple of months, I was having on a quite regular daily basis these feelings of anxiety. And I had mentioned to you in the last interview that I was in this wonderful relationship that I didn't necessarily think was my forever relationship, but was the right thing for me now. Well, about 2.5 weeks ago, I came to the realization that it needs to end. And you saw him, he's here, was helping me. I mean, he's just such a lovely soul. But immediately, all of that anxiety just went away. And for the last 2.5 weeks, even though it's been painful and sad, and I feel afraid of all these things, of being alone, of never finding love like this again, but that feeling in my body is still telling me this is the right decision, even though it totally sucks.
Yes. Yeah. And that's a perfect example of how it happens. There are lots of things, whether it's quitting a job, starting a job, having a baby, not having a baby, all these various things that come up in our lives, big things just like that. And as you're trying to stay with it, right, the anxiety is there. As you're trying to make it fit in your world, even, and it's not on your path, your IGS keeps giving you that anxiety feeling. And immediately when you shift that, you know, because the opening happens. I tell people, if you're in a fight and you leave and you feel sick to your stomach and upset after you've gone and broken up, you're not supposed to break up. And if you feel totally good, as if a weight's been lifted and everything's clear and calm, then that was the right decision to make. So if you're all upset, just go calm down, because you're going to have to go back. It's not quite done yet. So yeah, it was a perfect example. And congratulations. And the thing that I could tell you, congratulations, not on ending your relationship, but on having clarity. And the thing that I can tell you is that since it is right for you, it is right for him. There's nothing that the internal guidance system leads us to that's not right for everyone around us. So, and if it's not your path, there is something coming, and you'll look back and be grateful that you made this courageous choice to follow your opening into a new adventure that you're kind of scared about. It'll turn out good.
Good. And I keep telling myself that, but I'd love to talk about, and you mentioned this also in your book, Your Inner GPS. So can we talk about the difference between the IGS and our emotions?
Yeah. Our IGS, a lot of people have a belief that if they feel good, it's the right decision. If they feel bad, it's the wrong decision. And that can work if you're using your IGS, but it could also not work if you have emotions. You can have a pleasant emotional experience and be closed in the internal guidance system, because even though it's a pleasant experience, it's not the right situation for you. This happens a lot in relationships, especially with people who are younger. They kind of have this ideal picture, or they have somebody that they fell in love with when they were really young, and they're trying to reproduce that person. And every time they see somebody that looks just like that person, dresses like them, kind of maybe acts like them, talks like whatever it is, I mean, even could be a smell, right? They fall in love. They get all excited. This is the person for me. I'm totally in love. He's just right, or she's just right. And your IGS is closed because it's not the right person. They're troubled. It's not this. They're not going to work out for you. You know, it's telling you to not go there with the whole, I'm going to get married to this person after an hour of meeting them. And so that's one example. And then on the other side, we can have unpleasant experiences and have an opening like you're in right now, where you're transitioning to a new decision. You're sad to be leaving behind what it is that you have had, but you know that it's right for you to move on and keep growing and going in the right direction, in a different direction. And even though there's grief and anguish and sadness, sometimes even anger can be opening, there's an opening. It's the right choice. So our emotions are very much different than our internal guidance system. And the way I like to equate it is our IGS operates all the time in relationship to what you're thinking, open, closed, or neutral, where your emotions are kind of like a biochemical reaction. Your mind makes meaning about something, and it releases all these endorphins and these chemicals into your body that are like a drug. And it takes a while for the emotions to clear. You know, it may be a couple minutes, or it could take upwards of a half an hour, depending on how intense the emotional experience, or your IGS will keep working through that whole entire experience. So they're very separate, and they're great to use in combination together.
So when I feel fear, or when anyone feels fear, that is, I mean, there's lots of chemicals that create that reaction in our body. But how do we, can you walk us through the process or maybe even a story about how we can face that fear and still feel open?
I pretty much feel that all fear is closing in the way that you're describing it. That's that flood of emotion and that chemical interaction that's happening is closing of the internal guidance system. When there is a fearful thought that is true and you need to take action on, you'll feel open. It's like the example I give is when somebody feels like a lump in their breast or there's a health concern and they think, oh gosh, I'm sick. If they get that tight, worrisome anxiety feeling, that doesn't mean that they're sick. If they have an opening, I'm sick. Oh, I just got calmer and more relaxed. And there's a sense of knowing, a sense of discernment. That means, and it's still a fearful thought, like you're talking about emotionally. It's still a fearful thought. However, it's true. And you need to take action on it. There's something that needs to be done. It's an awareness that you need to have. So that's how I kind of like to differentiate between the two. Most of the time when you're fearful, like a good example is, have you ever had that feeling where you're thinking and all of a sudden you go, and nothing's around, you're just thinking and you go, like it could be something you said or thinking you left your phone somewhere or there's something that happens and you go, oh my gosh, it's immediately not true. Like whatever it is, like I've lost my phone forever. Oh, I just had that sensation. That's not true. And you look in your bag and it's in your bag, right? If you have, oh no, I left my phone on the counter, it's gone. It's one of those things. That's how it works. It's kind of that. Does that help explain the difference? It's kind of hard to tell once you haven't had that experience, but I'm trying to get the people that are watching and listening an example. Does that make sense?
Well, I think I'm understanding it in a new way. You know how this is true for me. I don't know about for other people, but I'm a pretty high stress kind of worry type person, but so I'll get all worked up over stupid stuff that doesn't really matter. Like that person looked at me wrong. And then I start thinking about all this awful stuff that probably they're not thinking, but I start believing it. And yet if there's like a life or death crisis situation, calm, just walk right through it. And time starts to slow down. And it's not the same, even though you're having a certain level of a fear response because you're in a life or death situation where you have to take action, which is one of the reasons why our bodies produce all of that stuff is to help energize us. But instead of it being this like closing and make me want to crawl into a little ball, all of a sudden I'm alert and can take charge of the situation and handle it like you'd be amazed. But if it's a little thing, I'm freaking out and running around like a chicken with my head cut off. I don't know what I'm going to do. And so for me, it kind of seems like that, like the chicken with the head cut off is worrying about stuff that isn't real. And the calm exactly. Knowing is this has to be handled.
Yes, that's perfect. It's a perfect example of what I'm saying. And another good way of realizing it is you said in the life or death situation, you felt adrenaline, which is energy. That doesn't necessarily the same as fear. There's an energy of excitement, of like high intensity. And the thing is that you were clear-minded. When we're in the other place where all of our stuff, what we're talking about is there's patterns that we got from when we were younger, from either when we were babies coming into the world with our families the first 5 years, or we got it in elementary school or junior high school, right? People picking on us. And there's a fear, like you see somebody doesn't call you back. Oh, they don't like me anymore. And then your mind goes crazy for 3 days. And that's the crazy mind that is the difference. Our mind will hijack us. You can't, it's like a compulsion. You can't stop thinking about this thing. You can't stop being concerned about it. You can't stop making up stories in your head. Your mind is just taking you off and your IGS is closed and you feel all those fearful, anxiety-ridden, worried sensations, but you also can't put it aside. Like you go, okay, I'm not going to think about this anymore. I'm going to go for a walk. And on your walk, you're back thinking about it and your mind's hijacked you. That's one of the differences too in the experience is what your mind is doing in the midst of it. So it's a perfect example.
So clear mind versus chaotic mind.
Yep. And not being able to control the mind. not being able to let things go, really wanting to, setting, I'm not going to think about that. I'm going to focus on something else. And it creeps again, you know, that's a good way to put it too. It's to be able to tell the difference. And when that's happening, most people are closed. So my recommendation is the first practice, which is in the video series you're talking about on my website, is the first thing you do, even if you, I don't want to leave you without anything, you guys. So the first thing you do when you feel those sensations, worry, fear, anxiety, frustration, overwhelm, and you realize it's in your body and your mind's hijacking, you stop and you go, I'm closed. That means what I'm thinking is not true and not going to happen. And what will happen is you'll feel this slight opening, this slight, it's like working a muscle. All of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, I'm closed. Okay, this is real. I just got a little lightning. And you do that over and over again. I recommend people do it for up to 2 weeks at a time in the beginning to just like get that muscle going, realize that this area is interacting with your mind. I'm closed. Don't try to find an opening. Just name the closing. We'll give you so much training. It's ridiculous. In fact, you did it. Did you notice a difference when you started just that practice?
Yes. And it reminds me to do it more because that's one of the things is I really love what you said about don't try to find an opening, because I think that when we first learn about this concept, we're really trying to force an opening, and it takes a while to, it's easier to notice a closing than a neutral or an opening.
Yeah, I think it's because we're conditioned to want to feel better fast, right? And we're also conditioned that these sensations we're having, the worry, the stress, the fear, the anxiety, being overwhelmed, they're not pleasant. And because we've associated them with something that's permanent, something that's going to cause us a problem, something that's going to be trouble in our life, there's going to be ramifications when we feel that way. That's where those thoughts are usually coming from. There's a future ramification, and that's why I'm stressed. That's why I'm worried. That's why I'm feeling overwhelmed. And so the thing is that closing is guidance. And over time, as you practice this, you realize, like, I'm getting guidance that my thoughts are off. I don't have to do anything else. I just leave those thoughts behind. And over time, it's like, this isn't true. I'm closed. That means this isn't true. Okay, I'm closed. It isn't true that they hate my guts because they didn't call me back within 20 minutes of me calling them. You know, it's like people are busy, you know, even if it takes 2 days, your mind could, you know, no, it's not true. I'm closed. That means it's not a problem. Then they call you back and go, hey, I just got back from being on a boat with my uncle. We don't have cell service. And you're like, there's always an explanation or a reason. It's not because they don't like you. It's not because there's a problem or there's, you know, anything like that. It's just one example. So it's really important to take the closing as guidance. It's important guidance, and you don't have, and just in taking it as guidance, you'll begin to feel better. In looking for the opening, you're combating your mind. It's like going into the boxing ring with a champion boxer who's going to pound you, because your mind it has unlimited energy. It has unlimited resources to tell you all the experiences that prove that there's something wrong in this situation.
I would imagine, Zen, you can tell me if this has been true for you and your clients, that the more we practice noticing the closing, over time, we're going to have a lot more experience of opening.
Yes. And what I'm coming to discover is that one of the things that's happening that's super cool, this is one of my latest discoveries in doing all this research with this, is that our internal guidance system is reprogramming our mind as we're going through our life. So you're in a closed situation and you're having those worried experiences like we're just talking about. And you realize it and you go, wait, I'm closed. That means what I'm thinking is not true. And you feel that lightning. Over time, that when that situation comes up, you're like, oh, there it goes again. That's just one of my fears I have. And that groove begins getting produced by the opening. That slight opening begins to produce a new groove. And over time, actually, not only are you more open, that whole thought pattern disappears. That whole thought pattern that's been, could be running you for life, whether it's finances, relationship. I mean, some people have that their partner's always cheating on them, no matter what they do, no matter how solid their partner is, they're never doing a good enough job at work, or whatever it is that's your own insane, you know, schizophrenic place. This is reprogramming it so that you can let it go. You can just let it go because you have a whole new way of thinking. It's kind of cool. Reprogram our minds as we're going through our life.
And I find it's almost like the example of the life or death situation. These habits of worry thoughts that we have, and these habits of misinterpreting the situation drain so much of our energy and our life force that when we're able to, over time, with practice, kind of release even half of it, imagine all of the energy and resources that we'd have to notice awesome opportunities and notice things that are going to open us. How has that been for you as far as like your energy level?
Well, so in the expansion, there is more energy. It physically feels like more energy. And I believe in my life that it's more creative energy in order to like have more of what I want in my life. It's like those thoughts are the true thoughts. So I'm giving lots of life force energy to them. And then in the other way, when you're having all these thoughts that are worrying you, you don't want to give any life force energy to the stuff that you don't want. So it kind of comes down. So the more you stay in the opening, the more energy you have, the better you sleep. And not only that, because you're following those opening thoughts and you're creating with all your life force, really good, cool things begin to happen. I have had things happen that are extraordinary that people are like, you're so lucky. And I'm like, I'm not lucky. I'm following my openings. Things that are huge, like big opportunities in my life. And even just cool things like being on vacation in Hawaii and sitting there at lunch at the bar because I'm by myself and this person gets, the bartender gets a phone call and goes, no, I can't do that today. I'm working, on their cell phone. Hey, hold on. I was just talking to this woman. Would you like to go on a helicopter ride? My friend has space in his helicopter. And I'm like, yeah, sure. And like, seriously, I was walking by this place. I was going to go to somewhere else for lunch. And I got this opening to go in there. And as I passed, I was like, no, I know where I want to go. Closed sensation as I'm walking away. I'm like, all right. So I went in and sat down. And next thing you know, I'm on a helicopter ride. I mean, stuff like that. When you follow your openings, it takes you really cool places.
That is so fun and awesome. And it's also a really good illustration of the hot and cold. Like as you started walking away, you started feeling closing. So you went over there and then this amazing thing happened.
Yes. I love it. It's really fun. I mean, seriously, following this is really fun. You meet people on the street that you're friends and you're like, what are you doing here? I just got the idea to go for a walk today and following my IGS and here you are. And yeah, it's really fun.
So then we have just a few minutes left in the show and I'm wondering where you want to take it.
Well, I believe I'd love to give a little context to what I think is happening. Why are we waking up to this right now? So I truly do believe that humanity is decided a long time ago to stop using our internal guidance system because it felt so good and it was so easy. And we weren't developing our minds, this beautiful mind tool that we have. And so we disconnected from this part of ourselves in order to be developing our mind. And I believe that all of nature, like I'm not saying that Garden of Eden is real, but the mythology of us being in alignment with nature, right, is something that appeals to me. I believe that right now on Earth, all of nature, whales migrate into the opening, seeds come up out of the ground, clouds move through the sky, birds, you know, find their food. I mean, everything that's happening, there's a way in which I truly do believe, including the animals that, you know, pick the animal that's going to die and then the animal that dies. I think if you watch these films, you'll see this. There's a thing that happens. There's an opening. There's like everybody goes chink at the same time. They know. And there's a synergy. Now we've developed our minds so that we can totally understand who we are and conceptualize that we are individuals, that we're personalities, that we're not our minds. There's this whole way in which we've developed ourselves. And we're being asked to come back into alignment with this expansion and contraction. And as we do, we come back into alignment with nature. And there's a harmony and a perfection there. And that's one of the things you find when you're using your internal guidance system is that you drop into this place where you're perfectly aligned with what's needed from you and to be a part, to really give your gifts and your contribution and to be a part of something bigger. You can feel it. You can actually really, truly feel it. So I think we're on the cusp of a huge awakening in humanity. I get touched. Anyways, and it's going to be very interesting. And the reason why we're doing the 100 Million Reads Project and giving away the 30 days is because the more of us that get in tune with this, the easier it's going to be to find solutions to all the things that we've created that we're unhappy with, that are out of harmony. And there are solutions. And it's going to be, I believe it's going to be really opening and joyous and fun to find them. So I would like to leave everybody with that.
I just want to ask you, thank you so much, Zen, for that. Zeninamoment.com if you want to take part in the 100 Million Reads project. And as you're having emotion, I can see it in your eyes. I can see the tears and emotion welling up. And I'm wondering if, just for people who are watching, what's happening with your inner guidance system as you're sharing that with us?
It's very open and there's a lot of energy, and I can feel the richness and the impact of what I'm saying. And so it's just a very rich, opening human experience, like full. I feel very full.
That's beautiful. And I can imagine. Go ahead.
Oh, I just want to mention one thing really quick. When you get to the site, it's called Activate Your GPS. That's the 100 Million Reads program. So activate your GPS so that people don't get confused. And then in that, we talk more about it. And you're going to say you imagine something.
Oh, I'm just imagining with all this political stuff going on and the recent events, there's a lot of fear happening in the world. And I think if, like, what you're doing is so important, because if we can tap in to our internal guidance system, then we can find the solutions instead of focusing so much on that fear of, you know, now we can't trust anyone, now our neighbor might have a gun or whatever. If we're following the internal guidance system, then again, like what we're saying about the energizing and the possibilities that open up are just so much more profound and real than this fear that just has us in that little bubble where we can't see beyond that.
Exactly. So the what I've found is that fear is closing, which means what you're thinking is not true. And what's happening, and if you look and you pay attention to what's going on in the world around you and the faces on the screen when they're in the middle of riots and fights and problems and challenges, they're coming from their closing. They feel sick to their stomach. They feel tight in their chest. They feel uncomfortable. They think it's because that person's gay or that person's black or that person's taking my welfare money away or that person, whatever it is, that person's white, you know, whatever it may be, that tightness is there because their thoughts aren't true. But they don't know what it means. They just know that they're really uncomfortable. And the more they think the thought, the tighter it gets. And the tighter it gets, the more they want to lash out. They want to punish somebody. They want to physically change it. And you'll see, if you watch two people getting in a fight, there you watch close, and then there's an interaction. And that is what the internal guidance system stops. If you're like, I have a story. There's a gentleman named Van Jones. He's a black leader here in the United States. He's amazing. He's a great orator, powerful man. And I coached him on his way to the White House, between his organization and the White House. And he and I were in our third or fourth session. And he looked at me and we were talking about what he wants to do and what he really wants to create. And he said, I need to tell you something. And I was like, what? And he said, it's kind of shocking. And I need you to understand that I can't work with you unless I talk to you about this. And I said, sure. And he goes, you're a racist. And I went, no, I'm not. I mean, I didn't say it outside. I said it in my head. No, I'm not. And I closed immediately. I got this tight feeling and I went, and I thought, I am. And I got an opening. And I was like, holy cow, I don't understand. And I looked at him and I said, Van, because he knows about the IGS. I said, I'm not. And I closed. And I said, I am. And I opened. Tell me more. I don't feel like that. My parents didn't raise me that way. I had never had any issues. I don't understand. And he began to explain to me how it's cultural. It's in all the ways that I've seen people show up around me that I have judgments and assumptions, unexamined assumptions about what the truth is about people, that I'm actually then carrying forward in my conversation and in my solutions that I even make. Everything that I'm coming up with has these limitations in them that I was given because of the culture I was raised in. And my point here is, I could have ended my relationship with this person by just going, no, I'm not. And then getting in a big fight and defending my parents and my life. And that I have black friends and blah, blah, blah. And all the stuff that comes in, and we wouldn't have gotten anywhere. But if everyone could do a self check like that in their relationships with their spouse, in being a parent to their children, in at work, in life, all around us, in watching the news and watching shows and making judgments and feeling that tightness and going, wait a minute, what I'm thinking isn't true. What is true? Maybe they're talking about something that is something that I should be believing in and looking into. That's when the real true change begins to happen. That's when this deep-seated new humanity can arise that we truly can all get behind together.
Zen, I know you have to go soon, but I just feel like this is so important to talk about. And I love that you were willing to check in, because it's so easy to be like, no, I'm not like that, and then defend. And I can imagine that we have judgments about ourselves, just the same as you feeling like you were jealous and you didn't want to be a jealous person. You know, just because that might be true in a moment or from our conditioning, it doesn't make us a bad people. It's just an awareness of what we can work on.
Exactly. Every day we're given a series of choices. There is nothing that's really truly fixed. Even there's a gentleman by the name of Bruce Lipton who's written tons of books. He's talking about how he's got research now that proves we can actually change our DNA through our mind. I mean, it's becoming to this place where we're really, really realizing that nothing is fixed. So throughout your day, you're not fixed. And you can make new choices. And the key is to know which choice to make, to know there is a choice to make. And in following your IGS, the choices become very clear. The choices are up here, and it's in the way we think about things, and it's how we think about ourselves and the world around us that creates our world around us. And so all it is that it's all a choice. You're not a bad person. You may have lived in closing for years and years and years and not realized it. You're stressed out and angry and upset and inside, and it doesn't matter. It can change in an instant, just really in an instant. And you realizing if you take this on and you study this work just even for a short period of time, you'll begin finding openings. And you'll begin fitting in harmoniously and into your life and into what it is that you're here to produce. It's just, it really truly is. We're only moments away from finding an opening, only moments away from changing and being on the path, no matter where you are. It doesn't matter where you are. There's always a path out, and it's only moments away from getting there.
Oh my gosh. There's so much more that I want to ask you, but I know we're out of time. So you're welcome back on the show anytime. And again, okay. zeninamoment.com is where you can find the training and more information. If you want to coach one-on-one with Zen, as you heard her explain, she works with people in businesses. She's done a lot of consulting with big businesses, and she does share more about her story a lot around that in the, is it Activate Your GPS?
Yeah, it's okay. Just that's what the box says. It says activate your GPS, and in there is all the 100 million read videos. Or you can go to 100millionreads.com. Either one will get you there. But we're just trying to give one URL today.
And again, the name of the book is Your Inner GPS, Follow Your Internal Guidance to Optimal Health, Happiness, and Satisfaction. And yeah, all right. Well, we've got to wrap up. Thank you so much for joining us today. I want to just appreciate you for spending this time with us, and love and appreciation for you, Zen, as well. And the thing that I wanted to talk more about is how when we start to make these changes in us, a lot of times we start seeing it, what everyone else needs to change. But the only thing we can do is change ourselves. And Zen, I'm sure you could tell us a million stories about how much that's impacted the people around you just by you paying attention to your own inner GPS.
Yes. And it's always good for you and everyone around you. And as you change who you are, the world lines up around you and changes with you. And so it really is true what Gandhi had said, which is be the change you wish to see in the world. You know, and the Dalai Lama said, when somebody asked him, how do we get to world peace? And he thought about it for a while. And he finally said, I don't know, but I know it's an inside job. This is a perfect example of that. Is a perfect example of as you change yourself, really, literally, everyone around you gets the opportunity to change with you.
Again, thank you so much, Zen. Zeninamoment.com, Your Inner GPS is the name of the book. Thank you for being with us today. I want to send you lots of love. Be well. Namaste.
Bears, cougars, owls. Wolves.
Cub.
Come out, and hear the transmitters perform the songs of Cub with Lisa Marr on vocals. The evening will also feature music by Van Cougar, The Knife Pleats, and Owl Empire. You have to be 19 or over to attend the show. Tickets are available at High Life.